They want him to shoot it.
And he does. Ben Simmons shoots the three. The fans want it. They're asking for it. And Ben Simmons is giving it to him. Joel Embiid comes onto the court and gives him a big hug. That has got to feel good.
NBA Strayer. Hang on, that's right, man. It's NBA Strayer. It's Thursday, October 10. I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff, that booze money. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA preseason. That's right, it's preseason. Breaking down and wrapping up every little bit of NBA action for you while repping Australia a little bit, mate. It's what we do. Oh, we've got some fun stuff to do today as well, don't we? All right, we're on to the third of our season preview shows. And today covers the young, dumb, and full of run and gun tier, which is going to be pretty amazing. Oh, shit. We're mashing through all 30 NBA teams, looking at off-season moves and asking questions about their key dudes, who might get traded. One big question each, the good shit, the bad shit, etc., and predict, you know, their final record and position. It's wild, you know? It's great. There's even a bit of yeah, nah for each of them. The best bit, though, is today we're joined by a very special guest to cover his team. We've got Aaron Gox on the show. That's right, Goxie. It's going to be unreal. It's bloody great. We've got a Kickstarter update, and Ben Simmons hit a three. Fuck yes. That must mean it's preseason. Yeah, preseason. There's other stuff going on. US president talking shit about coaches. That's not great. We're going to finish up with a brand new diary of Steven Adams, though. So that is great. I'll tell you what. All right, man. This is an NBA Show episode 334. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Wow, you better. We better watch out for the attack of the fucking orange Cheeto man. That's right. You know, the president of the United States. Anyway, we'll do a quick little whip around. That's the way we start every NBA Australia, the daily whip around. Look, we'll get into that in a second. But first off the bat, Kickstarter. That's right. NBA Australia Season 3's Kickstarter. Is 100% there. Holy shit. We're there already in less than a bloody week. You little beauty. So, look. Real talk. Thanks heaps to everyone who's already bought a t-shirt or a hoodie or a stubby holder. If you haven't, you can still do it. What's taking you so long? Come on, mate. Look, and what I'm going to do is also sort out everybody who's already pledged a little bit of something extra. So you'll get that in the mail as well with your other stuff that you've already bought. That's unreal. Because you guys are bloody legends and your support means that we get to do more of this stuff through the season and video. It's going to be sick. I mean, you have to see my mug. That's a fucking problem for everybody. But still, I'll have to keep the beard, won't I? Yeah, so Kickstarter, it's 100%. Everybody, thank you so fucking much. That is absolutely unreal. I had no idea if anyone gave a fuck and if anyone wanted to buy a t-shirt or hoodie or whatever. So I am astounded. I'm blown away. Insert fucking adjective here. It's unreal. I'm stoked. But you can still go buy t-shirts. We're also going to put up like another reward as well. Just because we can. And fuck it. We're at 100%. Let's make this fun from here on in. All right. Other news. Daryl Morey versus China. The NBA versus China. That's right. It's all on. It's still on for young and old. On like Kong. China Central Television came out and said, "We're strongly dissatisfied and oppose Adam Silver's claim to support Morey's right to freedom of expression. We believe that any remarks that challenge national sovereignty and social stability not within the scope of freedom of speech." I think it's interesting that China has a very different idea of freedom of speech from literally everybody else in the world, don't you? Yeah, that's right. Anyway, as mentioned, the president came out and started talking shit. After Steve Kerr, Greg Popovich both said that they didn't know the entire full scope of the story and were going to look into it before they said anything. Didn't want to comment on it before they knew more about the situation. And that corrupt fucking orange windbag fuckwit of a president of theirs over there in the US ragged on Steve Kerr, which is pretty interesting because, you know, he's a dude whose fucking dad was killed in the Middle East and has only ever been smart and articulate when it comes to political matters, which is more than can be said for that fucking dipshit president of theirs. Anyway, so look, the situation is kind of still fucking like up in the air. They've cancelled all the other meet and greets and shit like that in China. They're painting over stuff. The Lakers-Nets game at the moment looks like it's going ahead, but that could change literally any second. It might be over and cancelled before this even goes up. There's protests and stuff at like, you know, the meet and greet events, which has been fun and people are angry about it. So yeah, they've just started cancelling shit. That might include the game. But look, I don't know. Here's one solution. Moving to fucking Australia. Shit, yeah. Look, we don't have any protests or anything like that here about trying to, you know, impinge people's democratic rights. Well, not yet. Anyway. And I mean, if Tassie decided it wanted to protest Aussie rule, I reckon most of us would be like, fine, whatever. You two-headed dickheads. Nah, you guys are right, Tassie. Love you. Also, just give Tassie your fucking Aussie rules team and that'd be fucking up for anything, wouldn't they? we'll stick with yours. But look, seriously, bring the games here. It's chill as fuck in Australia. We've proven we can get 100,000 people to a couple of basketball games. What's stopping you, NBA? Come on, fuck it. But yeah, China have blacked out any mention of the Rockets to the point where they're painting over logos and shit in ads and on streets and stuff. It's pretty crazy. But I don't know, look, it's pretty weird. I feel like China will eventually just be like, right, fine, whatever, on the down low and just, you know, have the game sort of pop off sometime in the season. Not Rockets games. I reckon that fucking horse is bolted. But I don't feel like the blanket ban on the NBA will last like all year, all season. There's just too much at stake. I think Chinese NBA fans, for all the fact that the government and Joey Tsai, the owner of the Nets and shit, are all like, oh, there's 1.4 billion Chinese who are completely in lockstep and agree with this, or else they go into internment camps. Look, I feel like there'll be just enough sort of weird civil discord if they just turn everybody from NBA fans into NHL fans, right? So I feel like there's a little bit at stake for China as well, just to eventually come to a happy conclusion with the NBA. And Adam Silver will take his big old smart bald noggin over there and straighten it all out, I reckon. So, but at the moment, still up in the air. Crazy shit. All right, but the big news versus China and NBA, fuck that. Big Simo Ben Simmons finally hit a three in a fucking NBA game. Holy shit, it nearly broke the internet like Kim Kardashian's bum. Holy shit, I'll tell you what, it looked fucking great too, didn't it? Form was beautiful. Perfect swish bomb. It was wetter than the fucking Yarra. Also, how good was Joel Embiid's reaction? That was like me when the fucking baby does like anything that isn't him just getting stuck under the couch. I actually finally put up a photo of him getting stuck under the couch yesterday as well. Go check that on Twitter and Instagram. Didn't put it up on the facey, but yeah. Anyway, so now all Big Simo Ben Simmons has to do, Box Hill Benny, Big Dick Ben, just got to do that in the regular season, mate. Then we can shut everyone up. He can win MVP. Legendary. Right, what else? No other real big news. Preseason stuff has been pretty fun, but it's also shit watching them because like the first halves are kind of interesting, but it's just like quarter real basketball, isn't it? I mean, it's fun to see who they roll out there. But if anything big, you know, pops off, we'll cover it. But no really in-depth stuff. I mean, Rowdy and Thon, Ryan Brockoff and Thon McCurr went against each other today. 5 minutes for Rowdy. Missed the only shot he took. Kung Fu Thon, Kung Fu kicked in a couple of shots and finished with a 5-2 with a block. But yeah, Isaac Humphries didn't make the court for Orlando. But, you know, whatever. Does it really matter? It's preseason. Come on, man. Let's do a quick yeah, nah then, shall we? Let's do it. All right. Right off the bat, this is a really quick one. Will Big Simo Ben Simmons take and make a three in the regular season? Oh, yeah, nah. Yeah, I reckon he will. Fuck oath. I feel like there's just going to be moments like that where it's the end of the shot clock or the end of the half quarter, and he'll be like in a corner or the on the elbow, you know, the three-point line and pass the elbow and shit, and he'll just go, all right, fuck it, launch it. And I reckon he'll hit one at least. Because, I mean, now he's whetted our appetite, hasn't he? Now you've done it, Simo. Fuck. up shit creek now. You got to shoot it because we all know that you can. So I reckon he will. Yeah, fuck yeah. Number two, is Zion Williamson the real deal? We're going to talk about this later, mate. Yeah, nah. Yes. 29 points in 28 minutes, I think it was today. Unbelievable against the Bulls. I mean, the Bulls are a bit of a no defense shit show, but at the same time, Zion went 12 of 13. Get the fuck out of here. 29 points in 27 minutes. There we go. But 12 of 13. Fuck you. That's just wild. All right. And last one. Will Isaac Humphries make the Orlando Magic roster? Big hump day. Friend of the show. Yeah, nah. Look, I want to say yeah. But him not getting any run today is just, that's not a good sign. I mean, against his old team as well, Atlanta, they won 97-88. They did play Vooch and Johnny Isaac, etc., for over, you know, half the game. They've also got Emile Jefferson, who's basically, you know, straight out of, what, a couple of years out of Duke. He's in there as well. You've got Al-Farouq Aminu at power forward, Mo Bamba and Ken Birch at center. I feel like the squeeze on Isaac Humphries is right there, so he might be on the bubble, so it hurts me, but that's where it is. All right, cool. There you go. That's a quick little bit of yeah, nah. If anything pops off, look, we'll cover it on the next show. Don't know what to tell you, but we've got a season preview to do. So let's get to that right now, right after, let's say, this one.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
It's the NBA Australia season preview for season 2019-2020. All right, so there we go. We are back into the NBA season preview for NBA Australia. And we're actually up to number 22. Number 22. As mentioned right there, that's pretty bloody awesome. What's pretty awesome as well is that this team is like, and look, this entire tier, I've already said it, but this tier isn't really about like who I think is going to be better than in the next tier and even in the tier after. It's kind of just more of a tier on its own. It's a floating tier. Just like the one rolling down my face whenever I think about the Sonics there. Yeah, so the Atlanta Hawks, come in at number 22. And you might be like, oh, but Jimmy, they're pretty fun. And why would you have them sort of like above like OKC and stuff? It's like, well, I think they're going to be better than OKC. Last year, they fucking stunk up the joint. 29-53, fourth last in the East. But look, they were young, dumb, and like this is this entire tier, isn't it? Young, dumb, and full of run and gun. Love it. And Atlanta are fully, fully all about that this year with the additions of DeAndre Hanna, who's the number four pick in the draft, and Cam Reddish, old mate Zion's buddy from Duke, there at number 10. And Bruno Fernando, number 34. They signed him to a 3 year, $4.7 million contract. Atlanta obviously love them some. Bruno, which is neat, and good on him. I mean, he looks pretty good. He's a tough guy. But they also added, who else they had? They added, Alan Crabb, my old mate. When I'm not sitting there swearing in front of his church group, oh geez, he was out there kind of disappointing the Nets. Didn't really take that sort of next step up that they kind of expected. Also got hurt a couple of times anyway. But he got shipped over to Atlanta in exchange for a bit of a salary dump for the Nets in order to sign Kyrie and KD there. Evan Turner, the villain! He ends up in Atlanta in a basically straight-up swap for Kent Bazgaze Bazemore. Jabari Parker. Now, you might have forgotten about this, considering that Jabari's bounced around left, right, and center. Milwaukee, I heard it's Algonquin for the good land. Chicago, Washington, now. He's out here in Atlanta. 2 year, $13 million prove it deal because the second year is a player option. And if he's better than that, he'll decline it. And if he's not, he might opt in. Jesus. Atlanta also picked up Damian Jones from the Warriors. And They picked up Chandler Parsons, Chandler Parsons' rig, and Chandler Parsons' rig's Instagram from Memphis, ending Chandler Parsons' rig unbeaten streak of being the best rig in Memphis, I dare say. At least on a white guy. Just saying. There are a lot of football players there. Don't fuck around with that shit. So Chandler, he's in Atlanta now. Good on him. What a fitting end to a weird contract that's going to be. The subtractions for Atlanta are Taurine, the Red Bull Prince. Ah! As part of the Allen Crabbe trade, he's in Brooklyn now. Kent Bazgaze, as mentioned, he's off in Portland as a... Look, I like that people say that he's a 3 and D wing. I mean... I don't know where the D comes from. Yeesh. Wow. Yeah, not much D when it comes to the Baze Gaze, but good on him. Look, hey, there might be a bit of a resurgence in that old D. Who doesn't love the D? In Portland, the second worst Plumlee, he's also gone from Atlanta. Amari Spellman, but I thought he was going to be Draymond. Yeah, he's gone too. Justin Anderson, Dwayne, dead man. He's gone too. And Isaac Humphries, friend of the show, Humpty, is gone from Atlanta. Boo! Fuck you, Atlanta. Good job, Orlando, for picking him up. So the key dudes for Atlanta are pretty obvious, right? It's Ice Tray, Young, and John Collins at a tall cocktail. Found it pretty interesting in their first preseason game that the commentators, Neek, etc., and the dude with a very, very American voice with the look at how I'm talking. I'm a commentator. It's like, yeah, no shit. They were calling them their big two and sacks up to everybody else's. It's like, well, I mean, do they though? And that's where their key dudes sort of come in. Like John Collins almost averaged a 20 and 10 last year. Put it together better than I expected, that's for sure. But I always had a bit of time for the old John Collins. He's pretty cool. But Trey needs to up his consistency. He did it last year in the second half. And you might remember, if you listen to this show for a little while, that Luka Doncic was the NBA Australia runaway Rookie of the Year, because it's Rookie of the Year, not Rookie of the Last 3 months, which is what Trey Young was unreal. After Christmas, Trey went out there and averaged a lazy 21.6 points, 8.6 assists a game, shot 44% and 36.5% from three. Was even better after the All-Star break. Almost 25 points a game, over 9 assists, 44.2% from the field and 34.8 from three. Pretty fascinating stuff. So Ice Trey Young and John Collins at a title cocktail, obviously, they're key dudes. But there's also Kevin Huerta. Can we see something more from him, do you think, this year? That's pretty big question there. 10 points a game, 37.6% from three after the All-Star break for him too. Really, really important to see if Huerta can sort of morph into that ginger Klay Thompson that they expect. So trade bait for the Hawks. Kaká, Alex Len, the Ukraine train, the Ukrainian stepladder himself. Yeah, I bet you forgot that the Hawks still had Alex Len on the roster, but they do. I mean, he's obviously kind of trade bait. He's still young, though, so I feel like they still just roll the dice. They've got no other real sort of, beyond John Collins, they're sort of leaning on a lot of Alex Len. Evan Turner, Allen Crabbe, the sort of vets on the big contracts, obviously trade bait. They'll just keep flipping those pieces into more picks, same as they did this offseason. If this season doesn't look like where it's, you know, if it's heading towards the playoffs or on a upward trajectory where they need to keep vets like Crabbe and Evan Turner around. But they obviously brought back Vince Carter for his, like, kajillionth year, which is fucking sick. A record-breaking. Yeah. He's an old guy. You get that. But this is a smart team now. The Hawks getting two firsts to take on Crabbe was pretty great. But, you know, so they won't hesitate to pull the trigger and offload Crabbe, Turner at all if needed. So a bit of trade bait there. The one big question for the Hawks, though, is does Trey Young, Ice Trey himself, does he take a big step this year like De'Aaron Fox did last year? Or will he pull a bit of a first half of last season plateau like Donovan Mitchell? Or does he just sort of keep going on a happy trajectory where he just gets a little bit better and better and better? Seriously, though, 24.7 points a game after the All-Star break is nothing to fucking sneeze at. Upped his efficiency as well, which is very, very handy. He's going to be huge. So the thing is, like, they've got a nice little spread of talent, so he doesn't need to be a superstar right fucking now, but you'd hope that he'd iron out some of the inconsistencies, turnovers, etc., that he struggled with. And you'd hope that he could eventually evolve into at least superstar light. Maybe. Steph Curry light, diet Steph. The crazy thing is, I mean, he's got a better beard than him already, though, so nothing crazy there. Also, another big question is, Dominic Wilkins, do you reckon he gets better as a broadcaster? Jesus, trying to sit through that Hawks game was fucking tough. He's insightful, but Jesus, loves his Hawks. The good shit for the Hawks. This is a young, fun, dumb, full of run and gun team with loads of young talent that's so fucking fun together. Trey Huerta, John Collins, DeAndre Hunter is way bigger than you expect as well. That's awesome. I love that shit. So the thing is, they got heady vet dudes like Vince Carter, Ev the Villain Turner. They got the shooting from Crab. They got a lot of interesting pieces floating around this. That's the good shit. You know? Cam Reddish, Hunter, Huerta. It's a good wing rotation. They can learn from VC and Turner, Crab, etc. Alex Len, the big man. They've got John Collins. It's a lot of fun. So this is the good shit. The bad shit, the biggest problem, is that they're still super fucking young. So that's why I don't buy any of the real playoff talk just yet. I talked about this on the last show as well. They want to be last year's Sacramento, where they just take a giant leap and start pushing for the playoffs. But I feel like they'll be a better team version of last year's Wolves, where expectation is like pretty high and they don't quite match it. They just don't have the one standout crazy like all NBA talent like big Karl Anthony Towns. They do have a better spread of young talent, but that's a thing. It's very, very young. So they're probably a year away from making actual real waves as they figure it all out. A little bit better. Second year coach as well. So going to be a bit of a tricky one. That's their biggest problem, I'd say. Just the youth across the board. Across the board, mate. Across the board. And look, the Hawks, they are going to be fun. Lloyd Pierce, I don't know, after a 29-53 season, I don't know, what can you judge really from that? Bunch of young dudes last year. So what's a good season this year? Well, growth, 35-odd wins, seeing Trae Young turn into young Steph, but with a better beard, better facial hair. Less annoying, I guess. Anyway, but I think they'll look really good at times, young and discombobulated other times. But yeah, you just want to see growth and figure out who works together and who doesn't. Can Hunter play next to Huerta? Can Cam Reddish actually play? That's going to be fun. Some good stuff. So you want to see, you know, glimpses out of Hunter and Reddish of like actual legit NBA players, which I think we'll see. And, you know, hopefully they'll fit really nicely around Trey and John Collins. Good stuff. How does their season actually play out, though? I think it'll be a quick start. I've got a feeling like, you know, last couple of years, Orlando or Detroit, they jump out early and take like advantage of some of the shitter teams in the East. Take advantage of their youth early as well. Win some random games they shouldn't. And like you'll turn around, they'll be like fucking fourth in the East. And it'll be like, you know, mid-November. And everyone will be like, are Atlanta for real? And then December will roll around and suddenly they'll be ninth, tenth. And they'll get sketchier and sketchier and sketchier and sketchier. More and more inconsistent. They'll be up and down, like a... like a Ballarat High School year 12 going around the lake. Just saying. How good's the lake, though? And look, when they ship out some more vets for young dudes, it'll get a bit tougher after the All-Star break. But they'll still look good for a lot of the year. You'll see the flashes. You'll see the glimpses. But just the sheer volume of wins, I don't think will be there quite this year. So, yeah, nah, what has to happen? Can they win the title? Yeah, nah. Nah, like unless Trey literally turns into Steph Curry right now and John Collins is a tall and more athletic Draymond right now and Kevin Huerta is Ginger Clay right now. But nah, there is still a bit away, you know, so a bit of a tough one. The Aussie outlook, look, it's bad after getting rid of Isaac Humphries, you bastards. He only starred for you down the stretch there. But the record and prediction, finally, for Atlanta, feel like they're going to be all right. I think they're going to push pretty well. And I reckon you'll see them hit about 34 wins, I'm going to say. Coming in, what's that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10th in the East. Nice one. Good stuff. Love it. I think they're going to be fun as shit. I can't wait to watch more of, like, even just a bit of preseason, they were fun. You know how much it sucked to watch the fucking Hawks the last couple of years? Jesus. At least that's going to stop. So, nice one. All right, let's go to our next team, number 21. And we're going to bring in a special guest. That's right, I promised him at the top of the show. It's Goxie, Aaron Gox with the Pelicans at number 21. Let's do it.
number 21.
All right. Come on, man. We're in the nuts and guts of this tier of the NBA Australia season preview. It's the young, dumb, and full of run and gun tier. I keep fucking up the name because I'm an idiot. But anyway, I mentioned at the start of the show, we've got him on to cover his team. That's right. We're joined by Australia's most respected, revered food reviewer. He's just popped up on, internment this year as well. That was pretty good. He was awesome in Goxie's Classics. You've seen him all over the internet. He's probably busy right now up in New South Wales recruiting for his beloved St Kilda Football Club. He was booked by my mum to come on the show. He's the funniest bugger, not just in Ballarat, but I'd probably say Australia. It's bloody Aaron Goxie. Gox, Goxie, how you going?
G'day, mate. Thanks for having me on. I wasn't sure if I qualified, you know.
Well, you are qualified because we know no other Pelicans fans in Australia beyond you. So here we are talking about the Pelicans. And right off the bat, I mean, the reason you're a Pelicans fan, I got to assume it's because of when the Saints go marching in.
To be honest, I'd love to have like a really interesting reason, but I was just like, when they named him that, I'm like, hell yeah, Pelican. It's just as stupid as Reed. It's just like, I just love the name, you know? But there's a little bit of that too. I always like sort of smaller market teams and I'm a contrarian, let's be honest, you know? But and I also have to admit, they're not my first. I've been through a few. I'm a classic bandwagoner. But, well, not classic bandwagon because none of them have ever been good teams, but I just mean the fact that I'm not loyal to anyone. I was when I was a kid, I chose Pacers. I was Pacers for a long time.
Was that because of Reggie Miller?
Yes, actually it was. When I was a kid and watched on Channel 10 back in the, you know, Steve Carfino, Bill Woods days, and I don't know, you know, the 90s is like, everyone was like Shaq and Jordan and me being a contrarian. I was just like, yeah, that dude's sick. Cause he's doing like threes before it was, you know, it was a pretty big deal back then. It's not like now where it's just another shot, you know?
Nice. Yeah. So did you have any other teams after the Pacers before you go to the Pelicans?
Yeah. So then I was Pacers for ages and I don't know, it wasn't one particular thing where I just kind of, obviously, they were just kind of irrelevant for ages. I think after the Malice in the Palace kind of thing.
Yep.
But I didn't jump off them because of that. I wasn't like, oh, that's not the behavior I like sort of thing. But, I ended up I was Blazers for a while because, they gave Patty his start and also just being a bloody music whatever nerd and I was like the whole like Portland artsy vibe. I don't know, it's stupid. It sounds silly talking about, you know what I mean?
You're just really into the Dandy Warhols. It makes sense. It's fine.
Yeah, that sort of thing. And so I went for them for a bit and then as soon as I heard the name Pelicans, that won me over. I'm a Pelican for life now.
See, I also feel like there's a Goxie food tour in the making of just you reviewing po' boys all around New Orleans as well.
Yeah. And that's the other cool thing is like that came up, like the name won me over, but then they've got like Smoothie King Center. Is that still the stadium name? I don't know.
I think it's Smoothie King Center still.
And there's like there's so many cool things that to go along with it. I don't know if you've seen Pierre. Pierre's like one of the great
the
mascots.
Pelican, right?
Yeah.
The terrifying and Pelican.
Yeah, I think they had to change it because he was too scary or something.
You don't want to be scaring the little kids at the games, right?
Yeah.
Like I remember, so our first year in Brooklyn when we had our Nets season tickets as well, they still had the Brooklyn Knight, and it's just some dude dressed up as like a knight, and he was also like a fucking terrifying, like evil looking knight, which is all well and good when you're trying to be like intimidating. But at the same time, it's not entirely endearing to like, you know, little kids in your fan base, right? You sent like this, this happened like many times in that first year. This kid would be sort of sitting there, get a tap on the shoulder from the Brooklyn Knight and absolutely fucking shit themselves. Cause you're like, oh shit, it's like a fucking nightmare just come to life and he's come to get me. The kids would be fucking crying. So I can see why they changed Pierre. Like they ditched the Brooklyn Knight, I think, 1 year after we were there. And it was just like, thank fuck that guy's gone. It was terrifying. Yeah. But Pierre's the same sort of thing, right? They made him look nicer.
Yeah. Well, like, the other thing too with a team like that is, like, well, what can you do with a net? You know, the team name's Nets. Like, yeah. Can you have, like, a put her eyes and a smiley face on a net walking around? I've always sort of been interested in those teams, like, inanimate objects. I guess that kind of attracted me to Pacers as well. It's just like, what's a – I didn't even know what it was at the time. It's something to do with cars, I think.
Yeah, it's the pace, like, car, the right? Car. It's like, yeah, so what do you do if you're the Oklahoma City Thunder or you're the Miami Heat or just one of those ephemeral sort of ideas, right? It's fucking weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, so there you go. So you've cycled through a bunch of different teams and now we're sort of alighted on the Pelicans. But before we get into the, you know, the breakdown of the Pelicans season ahead and the preview and junk, so you're now a, you know, what is it, a denizen? That sounds right. You live in Ballarat, my old hometown where I grew up. I mean, how are you finding Ballarat? It's fucking cold as hell, but they do have a great Macca's in Bakery Hill.
Yeah, well, that's... I've come across this reaction a few times. It's usually people getting out where they're like, yeah, oh, they're either we're from there or lived there at some point. And they're like, why? They're trying to work out why would you go there? But my girlfriend that I met lives there, so I moved up. But yeah, no, it's and I'm originally from Brizzy, so the cold, yeah, I really do feel it, you know.
Walking around in shorts in winter.
Yeah, definitely. But as you allude to the food scene, it does, you know, I have problems trying to control my weight, and it doesn't help. It's sort of the capital of bakeries and all that sort of fried food. And
you've also got all you can eat Pizza Hut still there. You've still got Gravy Spot. You've got loads of good.
That's right. Drive through bakeries. Yeah, it's awesome. not a great place to try and lose weight though. Yeah.
Love it. All right, let's get stuck into this Pelican season then. As mentioned, they are the young, dumb, full of run and gun tier. I think none of this is like really in order. I've just sort of got the tiers because I just wanted to talk about the sort of similar-ish kind of teams or whatever. So I think they fall at number 21 overall, but I still reckon, you know, they'll be better than that. So whatever. Last year they went 33-49 and somehow end up second last in the West. And then, obviously... jump up in that NBA draft and end up with the number one pick.
Obviously, you know, the West is a powerful conference, isn't it? And even more so, like, that division is always tough because you've always got Spurs,
Rockets, Mavs.
And then, Grizzlies make up the numbers, but the other three are tough, but the Texas ones. I guess there's a lot of weight on Zion's shoulders, isn't there? Like, and everyone, you know, when he was drafted, everyone's like, what's he going to do? Stay in college, blah, blah, blah. It's like, give the Pelicans a chance, you know, to try and win him over, and he might enjoy his stay. And yeah.
I mean, the Pelicans made the second round of the playoffs like 2 years ago. So it's not like it's an absolute moribund shithouse franchise or anything. So, you know, but it was awesome.
And they always like, and every now and then they pull a crazy win out of their bums, and then you just like, oh, and then they just lose winnable games as well. It's such an up and down following them, you know. But and also, there's not a lot of defense going on, you know. I don't get to see a lot of games. I just check a lot of scores. It's always like 120-118 and stuff, you know. It's like
so. But the cool thing was, like, you do get the number one pick, and so you get to replace. You know, basically Anthony Davis submarines last year, just completely fucks it. He wears his stupid Looney Tunes, that's all folks t-shirt at the last game. He sits out the second half of the year because he's already asked to go to the Lakers and everyone thinks he's a dickhead. But then they get the number one pick and they've still got Anthony Davis, and there's like a moment where they're like, oh shit, maybe we can keep both. And Anthony Davis is like, nah, fuck yous, I'm already out of here, see ya. So they trade him to the Lakers. They get a shit ton of stuff back. They get Lonzo Ball, they get Brandon Ingram, they get Josh Hart. They get the number four pick that they then flip to Atlanta. They also sign my buddy, Derek Favors from Utah. I met him in Utah last year. He's pretty big, so that's good.
I just love how, like, the ball dad, LeVar, is it LeVar?
Yeah, LeVar.
You know, he's all, like, about bright lights, Hollywood, blah, blah, blah. And now he's going to be, like, back and forward between Wollongong and New Orleans, like, you know. It's almost like the basketball gods are like sending a message to him, like, worry about the game, not the showbiz stuff, you know?
Shit, yeah. So they also get...
No offense to any Wollongong people listening, by the way.
It is. It's a lovely little town, but, you know, it's also not...
Yeah, I was there last night.
It's not like it's Sydney or anything. So JJ Redick's also there, Nicol O'Malley as well, big Euro guy. They also got a new GM, so a dude who's in charge of everything, David Griffin. So he does the... he pulls the trigger finally on this Anthony Davis trade. He's gone to the Lakers. They also jettison, what, Solomon Hill, Ian Clark, NBA champion Ian Clark, Chiek Diallo, Alfred Payton with his stupid fucking hair. Julius Randle went and took all that money from the Knicks. And even the biggest spud of them all, Stanley Spud Johnson, has gone too. So you're basically left sitting there going, all right, well, fucking cool. We've gotten rid of Anthony Davis, replaced him with another number one pick. So in terms of the format for the old NBA Australia season preview, the key dude, I think for the Pelicans, it's probably more obvious than for almost every other fucking team in the NBA. It's obviously Zion, isn't it? Like, there's nothing kind of like him. There hasn't been anything like him.
It's just going to be like, as he goes up for dunks, it's going to be like so exciting. And then it's just like watching that he's, you know, doesn't like collapse his ankle or whatever when he lands. You know what I mean? That's the roller coaster ride of being a basketball fan is like, so much hope can be on one dude, you know?
It's terrifying. But he's like a mix of LeBron, Karl Malone, and Charles Barkley, right? Like Phoenix Charles Barkley, not fat Houston Charles Barkley or skinny Philadelphia Charles Barkley. But yeah, it's like he's just an excitement machine, and that's fucking awesome. But I mean, for key dudes as well, obviously, you've got all these old Lakers. So you got Lonzo, you've got Ingram. I think they if they're like, it's going to be pretty weird to see how they go outside of LA. It obviously just turned fucking weird for those dudes there in LA for a long time. And the weight of expectation, though, is off their shoulders, right? Like, no one gives a fuck about Lonzo and Ingram really now because all the eyeballs are going to be on old mate Zion. He's sitting there going, shit, all right, it's all on me. And Lonzo and Ingram get to go hang out and go, all right, so we can just play basketball. What do you reckon?
Yeah, exactly. And I guess it'll just be like a lot of eyes will be on, like, how they use Zion as, like, you know, like, don't wear him out too early and that sort of stuff. But at the same time, you know, it's tempting. It's like you got this, you know, you just got your keys to this V8 Commodore. You want to take it out, do some circle work, you know? Like,
yeah, got to go down to Vicky Park and, you know, right near the Mullet Keep. You'd be laughing. So a bit of trade bait. It's pretty weird. I don't think there's that much trade bait on this Pelicans team because they sort of got Zion and they sort of built around him. But I feel like Brandon Spindles Ingram, if he's not out there actually, you know, kicking ass and taking names and being good in his role as sort of the sort of release valve scoring dude, then you could probably trade him if you wanted to. If you can actually spot him when he turns sideways as well. He's a bit, I reckon I weigh more than Brandon Ingram and he's about 4 foot taller than me. So, yeah. I don't know. Like, what do you feel about Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram there, Goxie?
I feel like they've, you know, there's so much expectation on these guys and they're probably going to enjoy, you know, the Zion carrying a lot of that on his shoulders, you know, so that as they say about the great athletes, if they make their teammates better, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like, it's, you know, Jimmy Bartel shining next to Gary Ablett Jr., right? For, in like the 08 Cats teams and stuff like that, or Ruffy next to, Buddy Franklin. One big question for the Pelicans though, is it's just straight off the bat. Is Zion the next LeBron? Like, figuratively and literally, it's a pretty big question because, like, can his body handle his own rig? Because it's a fucking pretty impressive one. But what do you reckon? Is Zion the next LeBron?
Well, you know, like, obviously we know he's got all the sick dunks and all that, but I think LeBron is pretty close to the complete package when you add in the passing game and defense when he wants to and that sort of stuff. So we'll have to see that from Zion if we want to compare him, but so I'm gonna go yes.
I love
I'm
it.
Calling
I
reckon, it now he's yeah
I reckon in 15 years time we've got Space Jam 3 and it's with Zion. I reckon that's how much it's gonna be similar.
The exciting thing is now all those you know, those convos that go around in circles like Jordan versus LeBron, who's the GOAT, sort of. Now we can add, you know, another guy into the mix.
Kobe is just getting bumped down the list. I love that.
Yeah.
So the good shit about the Pelicans, is, I mean, we've sort of touched on it. They're building the team the right way, I feel like. You know, they've got Zion and they haven't gone down the old sort of Cleveland path with LeBron and sort of put, you know, pay a bunch of old veteran dudes to come in and, you know, try to help shoulder the load. They've just gone, fuck it, let's just get a bunch of young dudes and put them around him and then, you know, one or two veterans. They've got JJ Redick, you know, they've got Derek Favors and that's it. And then you can just sort of roll the ball out, let him play, and it's going to be fun. That's good.
Yeah, and like, you know, everyone's talking about these supposed, there's like these super teams now, like Clippers and Lakers and, you know, that sort of thing. And supposedly Bucks as well. Yeah, I reckon Pelicans are just going to creep up on the inside lane and surprise a few people, I reckon.
Yeah. I mean, that's
what I'm hoping for.
That's the surprise part, right? Like, because the biggest problems for the Pelicans are just like, you know, how young they're going to be. But I still reckon, like, and people would go, well, if they're young, they don't play defense. I reckon this Pelicans team could be pretty good defensively. They got Jrue Holiday, don't forget. They got Lonzo Ball.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty fucking good already. That's a pretty good defensive backcourt. You've got Zion. You've got Derek Favors. He's a pretty good defensive center. But I guess the thing is they've got to go out there and prove it. And the thing is they've also just all been thrown together right now. So they've actually learned how to play with each other with a bit of a spotlight on their most important player. So I guess that could be a problem.
Yeah, and they're just going to be that classic cocky team of like, all right, you score 120, we'll score 122, or you know?
Yeah.
That, I know it's a cliche, but best form of defense is score heaps of points.
So how's it go when, like, so if you're on a comedy show with, like, another comedian who's, like, you know, pretty famous or whatever, what's it like sort of being a show, like, you know, doing a show with them where the spotlight's on them and not really much on you? Is that easier?
Nah, I hate it. Nah, actually, I know in the intro you mentioned one of my series and Goxie's Classics, which I had a heap of fun doing, but some of it, yeah, like I didn't kind of get the punchlines on some of the jokes or whatever. And, yeah, there's a little bit of like, you know, there's a little bit of jealousy there, but it's that thing of, you know, that whole thing, you've probably heard it over the years where people are like, oh, my big knock on LeBron, he doesn't take the last shot, blah, blah, you know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, that can be part of a good team player, I reckon, is not needing that moment of glory.
I love it. There you
basically
go.
What I'm trying to say is Dave Warner played his role in the Ashes by going out early. See? I don't know.
It meant Steve Smith could bat longer. It was easier.
Yeah, see?
So, like, the big question for, like, what's a good season for the Pelicans is, like, I don't know, you just hope that everything clicks and they get to over 45 wins, they make the playoffs. A really good season to be if Zion wins Rookie of the Year and MVP. It's only been done, I think, twice before. Lonzo.
Well, it's good with the rules. They changed up the division rules a few years ago, didn't they, for playoffs? That was
yep.
Because I'm a big NFL fan, and they've still got the archaic old rules, but we won't go into that. But you know, like with divisions and that.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. All the division winners go so automatically least, through and stuff, and
So like. Yeah, so this, I don't know if this is, obviously Pacific's pretty handy now for a division with the Clippers and Lakers, and Warriors should still be all right. I don't know. But, yeah, I guess, yeah, that's the first thing is just trying to do pretty well within the division. And, see, I'm pretty used to having battling sports teams because obviously I explain how I pick them, so you can't be too upset at your team if you pick them for like silly reasons, like their name or whatever. But yeah, I got pretty low expectations as a sports fan. I guess this sounds pretty bad, but first, you know, reach like 50%. I know you had a little bit better than that, didn't you, for your prediction?
Yeah, I reckon they'll do a bit better than, say, what, 41 games is 50%, you know, 500. So
yeah,
I feel like you get above that. That's a good season. You've got a young team. Yeah. You're laughing. You hope that Lonzo and Ingram look good and Ingram just isn't shithouse. You got a couple of other rookies there. You've got Nikhil Alexander-Walker. I like the look of him. Jackson Hayes is pretty good. But the good thing is, like, what would make this a really good season is if they do make over 40, you know, 41, 42, 43 odd wins, and they get to throw it in Anthony Davis's face if Zion, you know, goes out and kicks some ass and is awesome and he gets shit done without being a fuckhead about it. You know, it's pretty handy. My prediction, though, for how their season actually does play out, they're like the Ballarat Mullah Keep, Goxie. They're an excitement machine, but just like the Mullah Keep, it's a bit choppy and inconsistent. If you go down on a piece of tin, you come a cropper and you fuck yourself up pretty rough. So I think they'll be a bit inconsistent, but they figure out everything, you know, who plays when, all the rotations, all the roles. But I feel like that'll sort itself out. So I'm actually feeling pretty good about them. They look like they've already looked pretty good in the preseason. I just watched the end of their game today just then too. But, I mean, it's all about them staying healthy too. You need Lonzo and Brandon Ingram and especially bloody Zion. You don't want him to ever get hurt.
Yeah.
So I feel like, you know, they can do pretty bloody well. So,
mate, I reckon, like, make the Smoothie King center a fortress and then nab a few wins on the road and you're good to go, you know?
You're laughing from there. So can they win the title? This is what we do here on NBA Australia, Goxie. We give it the old yeah, nah. And I still reckon – like, nah, they're not probably up there as the absolute favorite.
But did anyone have Raptors, though? You know.
Exactly, right? So if everything clicks, everything goes 150% right. I know you can't give more than 100%, but 150 is pretty good. I mean, it's like, what, the same as Geelong's next year? Who knows? Like, if this all clicks, it could be amazing. You could have an amazing backcourt in Giroux and Lonzo. You could have the best defensive backcourt in the NBA. Zion could be MVP. Who knows? So maybe they could, maybe they could. So I reckon that's a bit of a but maybe, yeah.
Yeah, man, for sure. I agree.
I dig it. All right, and the Aussie outlook, this is the one thing we've tagged on all these previews. I mean, the Pelicans just don't have any Aussies. It's always been bad. It's always been bad. I don't know why. Similar to Memphis. It's like, I don't know why the fuck more Aussies aren't there. The food's awesome. Bourbon Street.
Especially, like, Pelicans are pretty Aussie animal. Like, obviously, they're in America, you know, but I don't know.
Yeah, it should be like, you know, they should be just flocking to it, I reckon. Like, the amount of drinking you can do on Bourbon Street, it's pretty great. Like, the actual, I think the arena is kind of close by, like, Bourbon Street and stuff. So, you could, you know, grab a couple of drinks and then wander over. It'd be fucking great, but I don't know. They've just never had Aussies. It's a bit shit, I think. But,
yeah.
Oh, well. So, I reckon my record and prediction for them in the end, I've got them at 44 and 38, and I've got them, I think, just outside the playoffs, but they're tied with Golden State and almost the Spurs. So I think they'll be fighting in that 8, 9, 10, 11 range, I think, in the West. What do you reckon?
This is a crazy thing with these American sports leagues that have so many games. It's like, as a Saints fan, I've probably seen 44 wins since I've been following them, you know?
Ever.
Yeah, and it's like, and now I've been told my team in another sport will get that in the season and we won't make a playoff. I'm like, come on.
I'm still fucking burnt over St Kilda beating the 1995 Carlton Blues in the middle of the season. Carlton dropped two games that year. They went 20-2 and they lost back-to-back games, one to St Kilda, one to Sydney, and I'm still spewing about that.
Was that at, like, Moorabbin, where I heard they used to, like, put water on the field or whatever?
Slow down, Sticks Kernahan and Craig Bradley. So, I don't know. There you go. That's kind of the prediction for it. So how about, in terms of predictions, how are you feeling about the off-season for your St Kilda Football Club? You know, they're going to get rid of Jack Stephen, it looks like. Are you feeling good or bad about that?
Yeah, it'd be sad to see Jack go, but I think he needs to get a few things in his life in order, so... I'll just leave it at that. But, you know, it's tough. We're a sturdy mob, us Saints fans. But, yeah, we're just trying to keep a lid on things. But, just want to see a flag in my lifetime. We don't ask for much.
Dig it. And your Pelicans, I mean, what do you reckon? So, do you reckon they're going to have a good year? How's it all wash out, do you reckon? Do you sort of come away from the year just going, all right, that was good?
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's easy, it's obvious, but obviously all eyes are on Zion. But it gives a bit of hope, you know, like gives a hope. So at least it's going to be exciting, you know, there's going to be some good basketball. Probably even, you know, like Davis was a great player, probably more of a like workman-esque. Like, I don't know, he had a few highlights, but yeah, you know, I think Zion's going to be exciting and probably more your Franklin to your Davis, more of your Hodge, you know.
There you go. Yeah, it was always a bit weird to get like try to get excited about Anthony Davis. Like, there's only so much excitement I can have for a bloke who's got a monobrow.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not gonna talk about people's hair with my anybody hair, you know. Nah, but it definitely was, and rocking the t-shirt too, you know. The undershirt.
It's a bit on the nose. It's like, come on, man. Like, just get the guns out. And you know that Zion is just going to be ripped. He's already ripped. Whereas Anthony Davis, I mean, what have you got to hide wearing a t-shirt underneath your jersey?
Yeah.
Nice one. All right, have you got any plugs? Like, what are the gigs coming up that people can go see you at, Goxie?
Not much, to be honest. I don't know when this comes out, but I'm doing Geelong next Thursday. But, yeah, just book me in. I do those, what do you call them, shout out videos on Cameo.
Awesome.
They're cheap ads. I think it's cheaper than a Nando's meal, so get on that. Please don't sue me, Nando's, but I don't know. Nah, you know, I'm on the internet stuff, Facebook, Instagram. Got kicked off Twitter the other day, but anyway, that's another thing. But yeah, I'm around. Just look out for me. But yeah, cheers for having me on, man. I love your stuff.
No worries. Legendary. Thanks for coming on NBA Australia, mate. This has been awesome.
Nah, thanks for having me, legend. Go the Pelicans. I'm glad to be I was gonna say the Pelicans ambassador of Australia, but I shouldn't name myself something that I'm not, but anyway.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Number 20.
All right. Woo! How good was that? Fucking love him. He's amazing. Thanks to Goxie for coming on to help preview his Pelicans. That's fucking awesome. Really excited to see where they end up landing this year. They're just going to be an absolute fucking powerhouse of excitement and fun, I think. But also, number 20, don't overlook this team. That's right. They're a team pretty close to my heart. I do own a Jason Terry jersey. That's right. It's Dallas at number 20. Oh, I love me some Mavs. Last year, they go 33-49, which was weirdly good enough for equal second last in the West because we just had a giant morass of teams at the bottom of the West, sort of all tied. You had Memphis, New Orleans, and Dallas tied for second last. But look, Dallas, the additions, obviously huge, huge, huge stuff. Obviously they added Kristaps Porzingis, the Zinger, Extreme Zinger Meal.
Extreme Zinger Meal.
Halfway through the year, they did sign him, though, to a max extension, 5 years, $158 million. That buys a pretty supercharged Zinger Burger.
Supercharged Zinger Burger.
Oh, yeah, I'll buy a couple of those. But they also kept Maxi Kleber, Dorian Finney-Smith, and JJ Barea. They signed Boban Marjanovic. They also signed and traded for Delon Wright, which I love. He's big enough to cover whatever guards they need him to. They also signed Seth the Shit One Curry to a four-year, $32 million deal. So he can now walk into his fucking dad's house or his brother's house and go, see, I made my own money too. Fuck you. Nice one. The subtractions, though, for Dallas is where it hurts. This one hurts my fucking heart. Yeah. Dirk Nowitzki. Let's just fucking give him and play him off. Play him off. Come on. What a career. What a career. He was amazing. Dirk, I love him forever. Just a special player to watch, to see in person. Just absolutely legendary. But a new era in Dallas with him gone for the first time in over 20 years. Trey Burke's also gone. Devin Harris isn't back yet, but he probably will be, no doubt. Salah Majiri, he's gone too, replaced him with another gangly big dude in Boban. So the key dudes for Dallas are pretty obvious. Kristaps Porzingis, that's right, the supercharged Zinger Burger.
Supercharged Zinger Burger.
Fuck yes. Do you reckon he's a key dude much? How about Luka Doncic? Shit, yes. Now, KP, the Latvian gangbanger, and the Slovenian slammer Luka, they could be one of the single best combos in the league, full of them. as long as the giant Latvian can stay on the floor. And that's going to be one of the big key parts for this entire Dallas run, isn't it? KP staying fucking healthy and not getting into fucking fights with Russians in Latvia during the offseason. What the fuck was that about? KP just needs to travel with his own personal Aaron Bangers Baines, and that's not ever going to happen. Or, like, you know, hang out with Nikola Jokic. Nikola Jokic, hello! And his brothers. KP needs a better, bigger brother. Just saying. But they're the key dudes. That's the long and short of it. You can say what you want about the rest of this roster, and there's a lot that I'm about to. But the key dudes are literally KP and Luka, and how they mesh, how everybody meshes around them, and that's going to be the long and short of this entire season for Dallas, isn't it? It's fascinating because of that, because I really, really can't wait. I don't know if you can tell that I'm pretty fucking excited. I mean, oh, Lord.
This is ridiculous.
Oh, Lord, that's right. I fucking love it. It's ridiculous. I'm excited. I can't wait. So the trade bait, though, for Dallas, Tim Hardaway the lesser, Tim Hardaway Jr., I'm very interested to see how his brand of mostly fairly inefficient scoring can take a, you know, see if it will bother to take a bit of a back seat. Because if it doesn't, I think it'll be a very quick see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya, Tim Hardaway Jr. That's right, the man who shot 41.8% for his fucking career from the field. It's going to be fascinating, isn't it? I mean, yeah, it's like everyone's like, oh, but he scored like 19 points a game. Yeah, for the fucking Knicks, who had literally nobody else on that goddamn shit show of a roster. So, look, if he can subsume his game into like a bit of a role backing up Luka and KP and scoring when needed and when they're not on the court, if he can launch it up, that's awesome. If not, I would expect very quickly that Tim Hardaway gets the boot courtesy of a probably pretty pissy and angry Rick Carlisle. So, look, I think he's like the only trade bait I could really sort of look at off the top of my head. You might see Justin Jackson or Dorian Finney-Smith sort of moved to figure out their glut of wings that similarly do, you know, play the same sort of roles. But the one big question for the Mavs, can KP stay healthy? It's literally a big question because, A, he's 7'3" and also $158 million worth of contract riding on him. So that's a big fucking question. Literally, figuratively, ideologically, Jesus. But I love me some Kristaps Porzingis. I fucking love him. I think he's awesome. And I think New York Knicks fans are fucking idiots for going, oh, but he didn't want to be here anyway, so fuck him. Well, if your fucking franchise wasn't such a shit show, do you think that he wouldn't want to be there? If they were run fucking competently and they had an owner who wasn't a fuckwit, you know that KP would stay there in a heartbeat and love being the center of attention and love being fucking a New York Knickerbocker. But no, you fucking shit that one up the bed just like you do most of your things, Nick. So KP's now in Dallas, and it's going to be fascinating. If he can stay healthy, this is the big question, the one big question for Dallas. Can KP stay healthy? If they can, they are a contender, I think, at least to make the playoffs. The thing is, I'm not entirely convinced it's going to be this year. So the good shit for Dallas, healthy KP is one of the single most amazing things to watch in the NBA. So healthy KP and Luka Doncic could be absolutely neck level awesome. And I was talking about this with actual Dallas Maverick, Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff, the other day. I think they're very sneakily, quite awesomely deep. Dallin Wright at point guard, Jalen Brunson backing him up. You've got Luka Doncic handling the ball a lot as well. So Dallin Wright, Brunson, they can basically play D on whatever guard you need them to. Seth Curry coming off the bench with a lot of shooting. Tim Hardaway, the lesser as well, with scoring. You can play him at the two or the three, whatever wing position you want. That's more scoring. Justin Jackson, more scoring. Well, not more scoring, but more rangy wingness. Same with Dorian Finney-Smith. You got shooting with Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff, friend of the show, recurring guest. You've got KP and Maxi Kleber at the four or the five. You've got Dwight Powell at the four or the five as well as Boban Marjanovic. They also have possibly one of the single biggest potential front courts in the history of the NBA. Boban and KP. That's like a combined 14-foot fucking 10 or something, which I think is about the equivalent of 36 JJ Barreas. Now, that's the good shit. That is the good shit. They're sneaky deep. I think they're going to be awesome. And I think they've got a really, really good coach in Rick Carlisle, championship-winning coach, don't forget, who will get to, like, sort of basically throw a bunch of weird looks. Now, the biggest problems and some of the bad shit is a lot of that deep talent isn't that fucking top level beyond Luka and KP. The thing is, Luka and KP might be so good that the problem of them not being top level might be a good thing. The old flipperoo there. Because you just need them to play their fucking roles. Just be good at do what they're, stay in their lane, do what they need to do. But the biggest problem is just going to be KP's health, right? Like, I don't want to bang on about it, but it's a 7'3 dude coming back from a knee who, after his rookie year, has only played 66 and 48 games before getting hurt again. He's dealt with a bunch of injuries here, there, and everywhere. Obviously, the Knicks fans are like, oh, he always gets hurt anyway. It's like, yeah, but if he doesn't, you got a unicorn. You've got him. The problem, I don't know, there's a weird lot of variety on the roster. They still lack another big dude that isn't Boban to throw next to KP, really. I've always wanted KP just to play the five and suck it up and stop being a big girl's blouse, but if they had an Aaron Banger's Baines type on the roster as well, a literal banger, as opposed to those sort of, you want to say, more athletic-y kind of 4-5 types of Powell, Kleber, etc., you'd feel better with Banger. So I feel like there's a sneaky trade target in something like that to throw out there for the Mavs. But also, look, the biggest problem is probably beyond KP's health. It's just going to take a bit, I think, to figure out how all this fits. But they are going to be deep. So I think, what's a good season for the Mavs? Luka wins MVP. Yeah. KP stays healthy. Also gets into the MVP conversation, maybe. That 1-2 punch storms their way to the fucking playoffs and then maybe into a Western Conference Finals. As the best duo in the NBA and the best Euro duo ever? I mean, that'd be a good season. But also, I think for a Mavs season, just to be good, KP and Luka just staying healthy, building chemistry in the team, figuring out the players they need around them, and making the playoffs be very, very good. And me personally, I want to see Ryan Rowdy Brockoff average, you know, more than fucking 8 minutes a game. Get out there, just drop some threes. Come on, Rick Carlisle. He's not a rookie anymore. You can trust him. Fucking love it. Get him, Rowdy. But how does this season actually play out? I feel like there's some hiccups. Hardaway the Lesser doesn't fit properly. KP misses a few games here and there. They bring him along slowly. Luka probably also hits a few more speed bumps, similar to his second half last year with his shot and turnovers. But I feel like they're deep enough and well-coached enough to the point where they win a bunch of those close games. And I feel like this team, I've just got a feeling. I feel like they come close to making the playoffs, maybe even make them, just because they're so deep. So rangy, so long, and Luka and KP could really explode as one of the very, very best duos in the NBA. The thing is, everyone's sleeping on them, and actually, I think this is what we're going to see. This is how their season's going to play out. Everyone's going to sleep on them into the start of the season, and then they're going to act surprised at the start of the year when they're fucking awesome. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, they've got Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis, and if KP is healthy, could be amazing. What has to happen / can they win the title? I mean, nah, but what? 1% chance, yeah? So, yeah, nah. Not, but yeah. Yeah, like if Luka vaults in the actual MVP convo, like I just mentioned, and KP does as well, I mean, and their role players just do their fucking job, shit, who knows what could happen? They can invade the Ukraine. Hey, guys, we're the Mavs. We've just annexed Georgia. Nice. Well, I guess you're in Houston. May as well just annex, like, Oklahoma. Nice one. Mississippi? Sure. Look, the Aussie outlook for the Mavs, it's great. They guaranteed Ryan Rowdy Brockoff's contract for the year, so they're in my good books, and they believe in him, which is awesome. They obviously got the very solid Aussie background with Chris Anstey being there. Also, I went there for the 2010 All-Star Game, and it was fucking sick. I really enjoyed that. Went and saw Dealey Plaza, where JFK got shot, and that's where Arnold Schwarzenegger was at the same time. Wild scenes. It was fucking awesome. Arnold Schwarzenegger, way shorter than you expect. But anyway, it was when he was the governor as well of California, so he was surrounded by Secret Service. Obviously, his then wife, Mary Shriver, was Kennedy too. So, pretty interesting. It was fun. Dallas is great. One of the last times just before I turned, like, pescatarian was because of the fucking steakhouses of Dallas. I'll tell you that much. Jesus. Nice one. But anyway, Aussie Outlook's great. Smashed it. I loved it. Thought Dallas was cool. Record and prediction for the Dallas Mavericks, though. Look, I've got them at 46 and 36 and 8th in the West. Nice. But Jimmy, there are teams that you haven't even gotten to yet, but I'm not in this tier. It's like, yeah, this is the fun, dumb, young, run and fun. What is it? The fun but yet dumb and run and gun thing. Young, fun, full of run and gun. There we go. Tier. So this isn't necessarily judging people by the way they could actually win the title. This is more about like me just talking about everybody in tiers. And this is the young, fun, and full of run and gun. And Dallas are definitely going to be that, I think. I think they're going to be awesome. Love it. Can't wait to watch them. All right, let's get to number 19. Holy shit, we're getting there. Right after this. Number 19. All right, let's get to it. Here we are, 19. One of the most fascinating teams, I think, this year. Number 19, it is the Sacramento Kings of Northern California. That's right. Last year, they were 39-43, finished ninth in the West. You know, came within spitting distance, finally, of the players, but of the playoffs. But I don't know, man. Pretty interesting year ahead. Additions, they added Trevor Ariza, a 34-year-old Trevor Ariza, on a two-year, $25 million contract. After bringing back Harry Barnes to a four-year, $90 million contract, which is pretty fucking wild. Dwayne Dedmon signed a three-year, $40 million contract with them. Corey Joseph for a bit of backup point guard action, 3 years, $37 million. They stole Rashawn Holmes. And Kyle Guy, they drafted him. He's just a guy, you know. But they also obviously had a new addition and new coach, Luke Walton. Oh, sexual harassment. Luke Walton, allegedly. Subtractions, Big Willie Cauley-Stein style. That's a damn shame. He's now in Golden State. Yeah, nice. Gold Coast, settle down. Alec Burks, Costa Koufos, Corey Brewer, and obviously old coach Dave. Everybody fucking hates me after I've been there 2 years or so. Dave Yeager. Wild scenes there, coach. But obviously for Sacramento, the key dudes just turn into De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley. Fucking love me some Marvin Bagley Jr. Marvin Bagley just turned it fucking on in the second half of last year as well. I really, 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 really enjoy this guy. He's like rangier and more athletic than I thought he'd be. And he came out and started smoking. He like missed time. But the way he finished off the season was ultra impressive. From basically around the All-Star break to the end of the season, he was crushing it. He averaged almost 19 points a game, 9 rebounds, shot 50% from the field and 40% from three. And that's on 2 attempts a game. So, you know, not bad. I love it. So give me some more Marvin Bagley. Give me some more De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox took a bit of a little bit of the jump last year. Not the huge swipe of the Fox giant jump that we expected, but he went from 11 points to 17, upped his assists, upped his efficiency very, very, very dramatically from 41% from 40 to 45.8%, 30% from 3 to 37. He was fucking good. So they are huge, huge parts of the Sacramento Kings this year. They are the two key dudes, obviously. And then there's sort of a bunch of other little bits and bobs around them that are absolutely fascinating. So trade bait for the Kings, I don't know, Harry Giles, but you want to keep him around, he's super young. Maybe Harry Barnes, but he just signed that big new contract. Don't know. This is one of the weird teams where you sort of look at them and they look pretty set. I mean, I say that now and they might want to ship everybody off, but, you know, they sort of brought in a couple of dudes. They spent a little bit of money. Seems like they just really solidified the roster. And I mean, that's where it comes down to it. One big question for the Sacramento Kings. I mean, all the insanely good teams in the West, can Sacramento take a leap up? They do feel maybe a little bit too young, but if De'Aaron Fox, Marvin Bagley, Buddy Hield, don't forget, Bogdan Bogdanovic, they've got a really solid core. If Harry Giles steps up, can they hit a new level? That is the big, big question for Sacramento. They were the feel-good story of last year. 39 wins. They push for a playoff spot. They're awesome. Everyone sort of falls in love with them. De'Aaron Fox absolutely starts tearing it apart. He's going to be an all-star this year, maybe. There's a lot of good guards in the West. That's tough. But look, that's the big question. Can they collectively take the leap? And is Luke Walton the man to lead them there? That's a big question. Who knows? The good shit is that the Sacramento Kings have a really good, fun, young team. That's right. They are, as the tier suggests, young, fun, and full of run and gun. Look, it's going to be absolutely crazy. So the good shit is lots of young players, lots of good young players. They've got Belly Bielitsa, don't forget, as well. They've got Corey. Well, Corey Brewer. Oh, no, wait. That's last year's. I was going to say. Fuck, what happened there? Sacramento, what are you doing, mate? Anyway, update your roster, mate. Update your fucking roster. Look, Caleb Swanigan, Diaza Fox, Belly Belita, Yogi Ferrell. There's just some interesting names, isn't there? Tyler Lydon, Tyler Ulis. Some interesting shit. So they're going to be young. They're going to be fun. They're going to be awesome to watch. They're going to be really, really easily one of the more fun teams to watch. So that's the good shit. They've got lots of good young talent. The big problem. The rest of the West is probably going to be better than them, which fucking sucks because they were in with a sniff last year. And you look at this sort of squad and you go, I mean, cool, but the idea, it sort of does feel like the rest of the West might be just a little bit tougher. Who knows? So what's a good season? Look, after once again fighting the good fight, having a crack at the playoffs, all you want to see is Diaza and Marvy Bagges get better and better and turn into Peyton and Kemp 2.0. That way you've got Bogdanovich being Detlef. You've got Buddy Hield being Nate McMillan / Hersey Hawkins. It's fucking great. You got Belly Belita over there is, I don't know, some weird sort of combo. It's weird. It's good. There's lots of fun stuff. But the good season basically turns into them fighting the good fight, looking good, looking fun, making the playoffs. Basically everybody going, well, maybe Vlade isn't that, you know, that shit at his job anyway. But how does their season actually play out? Look, I feel like they lose a bunch of heartbreakers to the better teams in the West where they hold their own a lot of the time. And then they feast on some of the East teams that visit. So as long as they stay healthy, they'll keep being the young, fun team with loads of potential they were last year, just in a tougher spot in the West with a different coach. Now, with that said, I think they outperformed those ideas and actually start popping off some teams like Golden State and the Spurs and the Wolves and stuff like that. Because I think they're just really fucking good. I think they're sneaky. I think Bogdan comes off a really good World Cup run and starts kicking ass and taking names. I think Belly Belicha fits in really well. I think Deadman just goes out and starts kicking ass as well. I think they're going to be fun. I think they're going to be good. And I think they're going to be sneakily better than you expect. The big question, I mean, I mentioned it. Who knows if Walton's any good? Can he be the man to lead them to take that lead? He had busted ass old LeBron hating him last year. Got killed by Magic Johnson as well. Got thrown on the bus repeatedly. He was good initially though in LA though, wasn't he? So this is the thing. Can he lead them there? Can he get them to the playoffs? I think they kind of maybe do. So yeah, what has to happen? Can they win the title? I mean, I don't feel like there's even really sort of the bizarre punches chance of someone like Dallas or whatever. I just think that these guys are like a better, they don't quite have the top level crazy fuck you MVP level talent of Luka or KP, but Diaz Fox, Marvy Bagges, Bogdan, buddy, I mean, it's a lot of good, like Harrison Barnes, Trevor Ariza, they've got like good solid players in almost every position. But I don't think they can win the title. Nah, they're just too young. The top-level talent isn't quite there yet. The Aussie outlook, look, it's bad. It's always been bad. Fuck you, Sacramento. But the record and prediction for the Sacramento Kings in the 2019-2020 season. Yeah, remember how I said that, you know, these are tiers and not exactly win-loss records? 46-36, 7th in the West. Fuck yeah. Let's get it, Sacramento. I'm banking on, yeah. Can you tell I really fucking like Sacramento and Dallas? And the Pelicans and Atlanta. I love this tier. This is the most fun tier. That's why it's called the fun. Young, fun, and full of run and gun tier, you dickheads. Jesus. All right, nice one. Sick. That's it. Holy shit. Nice one. Legendary. How good was that? Thank you so much to Aaron Goxie Gox for joining the show to talk about the Pelicans. We're going to have him on more. He's unreal. Lots of good chat there. Also, big thanks to everybody who's helped out with the NBA Australia Kickstarter, buying a t-shirt, buying a hoodie. You guys are all fucking legends. You're bringing a tear to my eye. Yeah, awesome stuff. Thank you so much. And if you haven't yet pledged, go buy a t-shirt or buy a hoodie. Come on, man. Buy a hoodie. You get to come on the show. Fuck yeah. How good's that? Get some question asked on the old NBA Australia during this season. Should be good. Just go to kickstarter.com, search NBA Australia, go to our Facey, Twitter, IG. Links are all there. Make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, facing IG. We're all over the socials all the time, you know that. As evidenced by the Ben Simmons three. That shit was wild. Get around NBAAustralia.com. Smash the Amazon link on the bottom right-hand corner of that. They kick us a shekel or two on the back end when you buy some shit. Chuck us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever app you use on your Android phone. If you can rate and review, that'd fucking help out heaps. Spotify, subscribe on Spotify. You don't have to listen through that, but it'd be good if you did. iHeartRadio, Stitcher, all that good stuff. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Blue Juice, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout NBA Australia. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Facey, and remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. All right, we're going to close out with a brand new episode of The Diary of Stephen Adams. He's back. The big Kiwi. Going into the new season. It's about time we heard from him. All right, we'll catch us after the weekend. Yeah, that's it. This is it for this week. So have a safe weekend, you dickheads. We'll talk to you on Monday. And keep supporting our Kickstarter. Love you, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, Lederhosen!
Oh, kia ora, Bruce. How's it going, eh? It's your old pal Stephen Adams here, eh? Back with a new diary entry, eh? So, it's been a long off-season, bro, but here we go, eh? Oh, dear diary, it's me, Stephen Adams, bro. But you knew that, eh? Because you're my diary, eh? And you know all my secrets, bro. So, I don't know, no secrets or nothing, but let's start the beginning of the off-season, bro. Because it was a wild off-season, eh? First, we treated my friend Paul, Paul's in Mexico, and that was sad, as he. I had a teary FaceTime with him. He was off fishing, and he was all like, oh, don't miss me too much, Stephen, bro. And I was like, oh, Paul, I'm going to miss you heaps, eh? You're the only fellow who really appreciated my hungies, bro. Anyway, they then treated little Russ. That wasn't as sad, but at least no one will flush my friend Terrence's head down the dunny now, eh, bro? So that's good. But in return, bro, we got an even angrier little fella, bro. In return, little Chris. Yeah, so it's been a mental off-season, eh? So, I came back from drinking sarsaparillas on the beach to a locker room where I knew like three of the fellas, bro. It's like every time I go home to NZ, eh? Where I've suddenly got four or five more brothers or sisters, eh? And about 34 new nurses and nephews, eh? I'm always like, oh, kia ora, bro. Who are you, eh? So, it's a bit like that in the locker room, eh? So, but the good news is, my friend Terrence, he's still on the team, bro. That's sweet as, bro. So, I've also got that funny Italian fella, Denny, bro. He's a bit odd. Always eating pizza and hitting on the coach's wife and stuff, bro. But he's alright, eh? So, there's also another young fella, Shay. He's got a girl's name, bro, but he seems pretty cool. So sweet as he. There's also a fella named Mike who really likes to say the N-word. That's a no-no in my books, eh, though. So, I might have to fight him, eh? So, yeah, lots of new faces, bro. But really, the big new little face is little Chris. And from day one, little Chris, he walked in like he owned the place, bro, and was like, this is my locker. And I was like, oh, sorry there, little Chris. That locker's from my friend Nick. And Chris was like, oh, really, bro? And I was like, oh, nah, mate. It's just because it's just a bit of a joke, eh? Because Nick's retired, eh? But also, stop being a duck. And so he did. He wanted to, like, maybe fight me for a second, bro. But I gave him my best raised eyebrow, bro, that I learned from my cousin Rongo, that says, oh, you don't want to mess with this, bro. And it worked, eh? He hasn't said boo since. So, anyway, bro, I guess that's it, you know? There we go. Hopefully preseason will be fun. Get to play some of the NZ breakers and stuff. It'll be fun. Some of the fellas I know from back home in NZ, because they're the breakers. But that'll be fun, eh? Otherwise, just going to start firing up the preseason hungry for the fellas, and hopefully that'll launch us into the season, eh? Can't wait. Okay, so that's it, bro. I'll write to you again next week. Cheer, cheer, bros. Love, Stephen Adams, bro.